If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. This is one of the more famous quotes from the famous Christian author C.S. Lewis. If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. I think this is a quote that is very much worth reflecting on, and we should all really ask ourselves, what is it that I really desire? And is anything in the earth, on the earth, really capable of satisfying that desire? Because really, ask yourself, what is it that you want out of life? And I'm not just talking about material things like a good job, a nice house, a steady income. I mean, what do you really want? What is your deepest desire? How about things like love, community, relationship, acceptance, happiness, adventure, joy, freedom, to be able to live life to the full? When we get down to it, I think that these are the things that we really desire, the things that we truly hunger for. And I think if we all take a close look at our lives, we realize that we do have these deep longings, we do have these intense hungers for these things, but then how do we go about trying to satisfy them? So maybe we do invest in material comforts, hoping that they can give us the satisfaction we're craving, hoping that we can fill an infinite desire with finite things. Or maybe we try to adopt certain behaviors or ways of dressing in order to impress those around us or be accepted by them. And then we have to perpetuate that behavior in order to maintain the facade. Or maybe we might binge watch a TV show hoping to entertain or distract ourselves from the monotony or the dissatisfaction that we may feel with our lives. And ultimately, we realize none of these things really satisfy us. They keep us hungry for more. That's why we keep going back to them. And so this question from our first reading in Isaiah can really hit home. Why spend your money for what is not bread, your wages for what fails to satisfy? Why do we invest so much time and energy into chasing after superficial things instead of filling our hunger with something substantial? The crowds in today's gospel are also experiencing this type of hunger, and they know where they can get what they want from Jesus. And so they follow him around boldly, almost rudely. I mean, he's just found out that his cousin John the Baptist has been killed, and he's trying to get away to an isolated place so that he can be alone to grieve. But they follow him around because they're hungry. And they trust that Jesus can satisfy that hunger. And Jesus doesn't get annoyed with them. He doesn't send them away. But he recognizes their hunger. And he's moved with compassion for them. And he responds to their need. And it really is an amazing story with a very important lesson. And we hear it so often that sometimes we kind of gloss over it, but it's worth looking at. First of all, just look at the size of the crowd. It says 5,000 men, not counting women and children. So if we can assume that most of the men had a wife and a couple of kids, we're really looking at least 15,000 to 20,000 people. This is a much larger crowd than just 5,000. But all they had were 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's not going to go very far. So had they tried to feed themselves, had they sought to satisfy their hunger on their own, everyone would have gone home hungry. They wouldn't have been satisfied. But by bringing what they had to Jesus and by allowing him to work in their lives, by allowing him to address their need, it says that they all ate and were satisfied. And they even had leftovers. So not only did Jesus give them what they needed, what they desired, but he gave them even more. Out of the surplus of his mercy, his love, his generosity, he satisfied their cravings and then some. He surprised them with an abundance of food. And he wants to give us that same abundance as well. He wants us to come to him with our desires, our needs, our longings, our hunger for all of these things that we want. And he wants us to entrust them to him, to allow him to look at us with compassion like he did that crowd, and to surprise us with his generosity of life and goodness that he wants to give us. And one of the ways that he does this is through the Eucharist. So while the institution of the Eucharist doesn't occur until the Last Supper, today's gospel is a prefigurement or a foreshadowing of it. And the words we hear are very similar. It says that he took the food, and looking up to heaven, he said the blessing, broke the loaves, and gave them to the disciples to give to the people. That's almost identical to the words that we hear at the Last Supper, to the words that we'll hear Father say in just a few moments at the consecration. And so this story today of God's generosity points to the abundance of grace, the abundance of life that he gives to each of us through the Eucharist. Because when we do come forward and receive communion, we aren't simply receiving just a piece of bread. We're receiving Christ himself, Christ who is the fulfillment of all of our desires, he who alone can truly satisfy all of our longings. He steps down out of heaven and he joins himself to us. He communes with us in this intense, intimate way in Holy Communion. And so I'd just like to close with a quote from one of my other favorite authors, J.R.R. Tolkien. In writing a letter to his son, who was experiencing a lot of troubles in his life, Tolkien said this: "Out of the darkness of my life, so much frustrated, I put before you the one great thing to love on earth, the Blessed Sacrament. It is there that you will find romance, glory, honor, fidelity, and the true way of all your loves upon earth."